For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
So let's open in prayer tonight. Holy Father, we commit this time to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that this word go forth in accuracy and that you use me according to the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Tonight we're looking at what I consider to be a very, very important subject. That is, why is proper prosperity doctrine essential? Now, when I use the word proper, I'm talking about biblical. Biblical, obviously, is referring to what is God saying about the subject and not just the thoughts and whims and doctrines of men. So the big problem that we have amongst many church people today is that as soon as I hear the word prosperity or Christians getting rich or things like that, there seems to have been an indoctrination saying, oh, keep away from that because it's all connected to covetousness, it's all connected to greed, it's all connected to wrong thinking. But nothing could be further from the truth, because this is really comes down to, are you going to be biblical or are you going to be swayed by the winds of doctrine which are currently around? Now, why is proper prosperity doctrine essential? There's two really big things in this. First of all, it's essential because it has a direct bearing on our priesthood. The Lord Jesus Christ has made us kings and priests. We won't turn to that in Revelation 1, for example. It talks about that. We've been made kings and priests unto God. And so therefore we have a priestly spiritual sacrifice to do on the earth. And the Bible says that we should reign as kings on the earth as well. Well, a pauper can't reign as a king. Poverty keeps people from reigning. And there's many answers to that. The Bible says he lifts the poor to sit with princes. So there is this thing that we do as priests and as kings before the Lord. And that touches directly on the prosperity doctrine. The other is that if we don't have a prosperity mindset and a proper prosperity doctrine, we're not going to be establishing the covenant in the earth today, because the Lord wants to use his people in this particular area. Let's have a look at Philippians chapter 4, first of all, just touching on this priesthood area, so that we understand that the Lord God is looking upon us. Now, we know that prosperity, the word prosperity is talked about in the Bible, the word prosper is in the Bible. If it wasn't, we wouldn't talk about it. Being rich and so on is in the Bible. Also, there's warnings about covetousness and greed and so on. All of that's in the Bible as well. But as priests before the Lord, we have offerings that we need to make. And that, you know, prosperity covers spirit, soul and body and all our circumstances. In fact, it covers all areas of our life. So prosperity, proper prosperity doctrine is about God increasing his people in all areas to be able to do the good works he wants to do in the earth. And those bound by poverty cannot do this. So biblically, learned Christians will understand spiritual laws involving this, not to love money, but to love God. Looking at Philippians 4, verses 18 and 19, and even though prosperity touches on all areas, we see that a major area it does touch on is the area of finance and material giving. So that's a major area. And we see that verse 18 and 19 talks about our priestly role a sacrifice that we're to do that's acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Verse 18 says, "But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Do you notice that our Heavenly Father is rich? Why wouldn't he want his children to be rich? You know, there's many answers to these false doctrines. But notice in verse 18, it's talking about giving into the work of the Lord, and the Lord sees that as a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to him. If you go, we won't turn to it, but in the book of Malachi, Malachi 1, for example, it's talking to the priests of God. It's a type for us to take hold of as well. And he talks to the priests, "O priests that despise my name." And if you look through Malachi, you can see that he's talking about offerings and tithes and the way you approach that. So priesthood and giving offerings to the Lord, whatever offerings they might be, there's a number of offerings that we know. Specifically, we see here the giving of things, because it says the things which were sent from you. So that might be financial and other resources that were sent into Paul's ministry here. And so we know that as kings and priests before the Lord, we must have the ability to be able to give. And those who are bound in poverty and who cannot afford many things are hardly able to give generously into the kingdom of God. So if you believe the Bible, and we'll touch on this just briefly, if you believe the Bible, then you will not be covetous. Let's have a look, for example, in Luke 12, verse 15. Just so that we're very clear. Now, there may be examples of preachers and so on who, in inverted commas, have fleeced the flock. But that does not undermine what the Bible says about prosperity and God making his people rich. In fact, we don't look at man, but we look at the scripture, at the word of God. Jesus said, "What saith the scripture?" And that's what we should say. If someone says, "Oh, I'm against that prosperity area," well, you should say to them, "What saith the scripture? What does the Bible say about it?" And the Bible has a lot to say about it. Luke 12 and verse 15 is a good one for you to remember, just on the area of covetousness. Covetous is obviously it can be in a good sense, you know, covet to prophesy, the Bible says. But here, if you're coveting things and loving money and all that type of thing, the Bible puts it into the area of idolatry. It says that in Colossians 3 verse 5, for example. In Luke 12 verse 15, it says, Jesus is saying this, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." He's not saying you can't have possessions. He's saying take heed and beware of covetousness. So our attitude should be to love God above all things, so that even if we were stripped of all material possessions, it should not have any bearing on our love for the Lord. And but that does not say that we should be paupers, we should not have anything, we should not be believing God for increase, things like that. God wants to use his people specifically through the body of Christ. And so he wants to establish his covenant in the earth. And we see that in Deuteronomy chapter 8. So let's have a look at that. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 16 to 19. And God is using the body of Christ. Now, if you think about some of the things that are coming up, such as whole nations being converted to Christ, well, you need a lot of money for that, because the Bible says that we should be teaching nations. Teaching nations. Now you think about how much money the church would need, how much resources the church would need to teach a nation, much less many nations. So we have to be thinking in a higher frame of mind, a higher way of thinking, a learned way of thinking, a biblical way of thinking. And notice what it says in Deuteronomy 8, starting from verse 16. It says, talking about God who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Well, do you think that's the right thing to say? Well, obviously not. Everything you have, everything in terms of skills, whatever you've had, has been given to you by God, by his grace, by his provision. Okay, so it's a very foolish and stupid thing to leave God out of what he has made you. And that's what a person who would say that in their heart would be doing. They're leaving God out of their thinking there. Verse 18, but, and this is what the Christians, what the believers should be remembering, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Verse 19, and it shall be, if thou at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods, for example, money or material things, because the Bible says that covetousness is idolatry. That's an example of walking after other gods. And serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. So we should be people that saying, thank you, Lord, you give me power to get wealth. Because my desire, my heart, is to establish your covenant and for you to use me in that way to be able to establish your covenant in the earth. And so it is not a wrong thing to believe that God gives us power to get wealth. In fact, if you believe the Bible, you cannot be against prosperity. If you believe the Bible, and it comes down to this, what is proper doctrine based on? It's based on what the Bible says. What saith the Scripture? If you believe the Bible, you cannot be against prosperity. Let's just have a look at a couple of scriptures which touch on prosperity. We all know 3 John 2. Let's have a look at that. 3 John 2 in the New Testament, and then we'll go to one in the Old Testament. 3 John 2. Here's one we've touched on many times here in this church. It's an important one because it touches on your inner man as well. And 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So he relates to your soul prospering. And of course, a prospering soul is not going to be one that's loving money, covetous, greedy, slothful, all that type of thing. Now, a prosperous soul is going to be one that loves God, loves his word, loves the church, loves the people of God, and wants God's will to be done in the earth. That type of soul is a prosperous soul. And if your soul is prospering, notice he says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. So it's a high area in the Lord's in the Lord's approach to the way his people is to be on the earth. He wants them to be prosperous and to be healthy. And of course, that provision has been made through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a full salvation, not a salvation that's paltry or deficient. Let's also have a look, and as I said in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 26, verses 3 to 5. And here we see an example of a king who the Lord prospered. Now, remember what I said right at the beginning, we are kings and priests. So look at the kings in the Old Testament as object lessons for us. And you can see that the Lord certainly did have a hand in making kings rich and powerful and so on, or if they got into sin, bringing them down. So we need to understand, how can we prosper? How can we go forward in the Lord? What should we do? Are we to neglect the things of God, or are we to be people that do what He wants? And as we said before, as your soul prospers in thinking the right way, God can also prosper you. And notice what it says in this one, 2 Chronicles 26, verses 3 to 5. And it says, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Do you think that spiritual law is in operation today? It certainly is. As long as you seek the Lord, God will make you to prosper. Well, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that he rewards those that diligently seek him. Well, that's prosperity. And as long as you seek the Lord, God will make you to prosper too. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? So if you believe the Bible, you cannot be against prosperity. Also, if you believe the Bible, you cannot be against God making people rich. And I think we should look at a few scriptures in relation to this. Let's have a look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Samuel 2, verse 7. So once again, if you believe the Bible, you cannot be against God making people rich. Now, there's all types of reasons why people say that they're against the prosperity gospel, in inverted commas. They almost use it as a swear word, as though they're trying to make a point. But it's quite clear that they have a non-biblical doctrine about this. They're not believing the Bible about many areas in relation to this whole area of prosperity doctrine. In other words, their doctrine is based on the teachings of man, not on the scripture itself. So 1 Samuel 2, verse 7 says, "The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich, he bringeth low and lifteth up." So here we see the Lord maketh rich. And that's not just spiritually rich, that's rich in all areas. So we see he also bringeth low and lifteth up. There's other scriptures that talk about him lifting up the poor to be seated with princes. So let's understand that the God can make people rich. Okay, that's very, very important to understand. Also have a look at Psalm 112, verses 1 to 3. Now, there are many, many scriptures we could go through, but I just want to make it clear that if you're a biblical Christian, you're not going to be against God making people rich. You're going to understand it in the proper way. Okay, you're going to have a proper doctrine about it, not just listen to what some people spout off who have various motives for doing so. Psalm 112, verses 1 to 3. "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." Let's just pause there. Notice it talks about blessing coming upon people that fear the Lord, that's reverence him, hate evil, that fear the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. And you and me can be in that category. We can be in the category of blessing. Let's see what some of that blessing is. Verse 2, "His seed shall be mighty upon earth, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. So here we see that wealth and riches is in the category of what? Blessing. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Also have a look at Proverbs 10 verse 22. Proverbs 10, 22. Proverbs 10, 22 talks about the blessing of the Lord. And we read here, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now there's lots of sorrow attached with the riches of people who are in the world. Okay, there's lots of fear attached to that as well. Fear that it'd be taken away from and all that type of thing. But the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. If you're blessed of the Lord, if there's blessing in your life, if you're open to it by faith, it will make you rich. Glory to God. And it's not just talking about spiritually rich there. 1 Timothy 6 verse 16. 1 Timothy 6, 16. And so, as I said before, if a person comes and spouts off to you about, you have the prosperity doctrine that you're teaching in your church, well, you need to say, what saith the Scripture to that person? Be bold. Be bold and say, what saith the Scripture? Do you believe the Bible, or do you believe the words of man? And what saith the Scripture? So we're looking at 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 6 verse 17. And it says here, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, there's a few things in this verse. Charge them that are rich in this world. So is he talking to non-Christians or Christians here? He's talking to Christians, because he then says that they should be not trusting in uncertain riches, but in the living God. So here he's talking to people that are rich in the world. Don't trust in your riches. Trust in the living God. And note that the living God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So it's not just talking about, because it says all things, not just talking about spiritual things. And then if you look at verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So you can see that God wants his people to be rich. Yes, they're in the world, they're not of the world, they're in the world so that they can do good, so that they can do those good works that God wants them to do. The Bible says we're being created unto good works. Now, poverty is a destructive thing in people's lives. And people who are poor are not going to be able to do everything that the Lord wants them to do. So what's the solution to that? Well, the solution is not that they stay poor, but that they start to believe God to raise them up and, start to bring the Word of God into their heart and understand where proper wealth and riches and prosperity comes from. So if you believe the Bible, you cannot believe that poverty is good. Let's look at Proverbs 10. Verse 15. So it all comes down to, do you believe the Bible? And the question is, why is proper prosperity doctrine essential? Because it really comes down to, do you believe the Bible? Are you willing to be a king and priest on the earth as God wants you to be? That means in the way he wants you to be. And are you willing to help in the establishment of his covenant in the earth? And specifically, we know that God wants to teach all nations. He wants whole nations to come to him. And so it's very, very important for us to see this whole area of prosperity doctrine in the right way. If you look at Proverbs 10, verse 15, Proverbs 10, 15 shows us quite clearly, and it should be obvious, but once again, we're looking at the scriptures and we're making a clear case scripturally. It should be obvious that poverty is not a good thing, but you know, there's people that say, "Ah, why is that preacher or that person have that? They don't need that." And it's obvious that they're just being envious and covetous themselves. And notice that a lot of what they're doing is to try and work to get richer anyway. You know, and you often hear them speak like that. Proverbs 10:15 says, "The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty." Now, notice when it says the rich man's wealth is his strong city, it's not even talking about an evil rich man here. It's talking about, it can talk about this to any rich man, including Bible-believing Christians. So it's not a bad thing that your wealth is a strong city. In other words, there's strength in having wealth. But the destruction of the poor is their poverty. So what's poverty do to the poor? Destroys them. Destroys them. It's not a good thing. It never has been, never will be. Now, if you believe the Bible, then you should believe that redemption includes redeeming people from poverty. Let's look at Psalm 103, verses 1 to 3. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 3. So if you believe the Bible, you should believe that redemption provided by the Lord Jesus Christ includes redeeming people from poverty. There's whole sermons that we have preached and could preach in this area. We're just going to touch on it very briefly, and I'll go through three scriptures related to this. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 4. Notice what it says, Psalm 103, verses 1 to 4. And you can see that this is touching on the prosperity of the soul. Okay. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from what? Destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy." So, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. We just read before, the destruction of the poor is their poverty. So we can see quite clearly that God does not want our life to be in destruction. And that includes poverty. So it's not a hard case to make. Look at Luke 4, verse 18. Luke 4, verse 18. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come? What was one of the things he came to do? Luke 4, verse 18. Jesus is speaking here. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." So let's not look at the poor category just for a minute. Let's look at the brokenhearted category. He has sent Christ to do what for the brokenhearted? That they stay brokenhearted? No, that they be healed. That their inner man be healed. Let's look at the captives area. To preach deliverance to the captives so that they stay captives? No, so that they have deliverance or are delivered from being captives. Isn't that quite clear? Yep. And let's look at the blind category. That can be blind physically and spiritually. Recovering of sight to the blind. Is that so that they stay blind? No, it says they're recovering of sight to the blind. That's pretty clear, isn't it? God doesn't want them to stay blind. Let's look at the bruised category. to set at liberty them that are bruised. So they stay bruised? No, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now go back to the poor, to preach the gospel to the poor. What, so that they stay poor? No, so that the gospel, the good news, being that you are redeemed from destruction, your life is redeemed from destruction, the destruction of the poor is their poverty, so that they're not staying poor. I mean, it's quite clear. Also have a look at 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. I want to finish with this one tonight, because what we have to be is people of the Bible. And so when we talk about why is proper prosperity doctrine essential, it is essential, because if you believe the Bible, you must believe these areas. That you are a king and a priest, and you are called to offer as sacrifices, to give. You are called to reign as a king and to seek the Lord and prosper. You are called to prosper. God wants his people rich, as we're about to read now. God wants his people to be lifted up, not to stay down in destruction. God is not against making people wealthy or rich. He is against covetousness. He is against greed. He is against lying and deception to get riches, obviously. He's against all of that. But he's not against his people operating in spiritual law. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That spiritual law. Operating in spiritual law and then prospering. Praise the Lord. So we must have a proper biblical mindset about this. And it's clear that many people need to have their minds renewed in this area. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. 8 verse 9. That's what it says here. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now this is redemption language, where Christ has been our substitute and was made poor for us, so that through his poverty, poor for us obviously through his sacrifice on the cross, so that through his poverty we might be made rich. And so it's very important for us to have the right understanding of this whole area. And I pray that you have that understanding. In fact, there's a whole area in the Victory Faith Centre website. It's got sermons under the category of prosperity. So we've taught substantially on this, and I believe I speak from the Lord here that we are presenting a proper prosperity doctrine. And now, as I've said tonight, it's very essential for us, so that we know that the body of Christ is coming to a time where we're going to have to preach whole nations that are converted to Christ. You can't do that if the church is poor. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word that is so clear to us. And Lord, we want to be people of the word, not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine or by man's doctrine shifted away from your word. Lord, I pray that every person here and those who hear this might be pricked in their heart to understand where their part is in you, Lord, and seek you. Seek you so that they may prosper in you and increase in you in every area. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.